Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a 31-20 loss for the Titans yesterday in Cincinnati to drop to 5-2 on the year. And obviously, Joe, a big disappointment yesterday for the Titans. I've thrown it out there. I think this is the worst loss the Titans have had in Mike Vrabel's tenure as head coach. And that's our poll question right now on Twitter at 1025 The Game. Do you agree with that? Was Sunday's loss the worst for Mike Vrabel so far in his head coaching tenure as the Titans head coach, if I could spit it out? So far, 82% agree that it is the worst loss of Mike Vrabel's tenure as Titans coach. 18% disagree. Over 233 votes so far. So pretty overwhelming.
Prisoners of the moment. But yeah, you may be right.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah,
is it?
The Buffalo game of 2 years ago comes to mind. That was not a good team at all. It's sort of like how do you hate losing more? Because that was just a dreadful offensive display. It was just a terrible football game to watch. So I think sometimes that makes it worse. It's like
you did kind of want to peel your eyes out of your head after watching that game. It was
like,
awful.
Yeah, like not only is this a bad loss to a bad team, but it's just 3 hours you can't get back. I mean, at least yesterday there were some fun football plays. Man, I'm trying to maybe prettied it up a little bit. The Bengals are 1-5-1. Joe Burrow's gonna be really good, but I think that I would have to put this number one because of the offensive line. When you talk about losing four players up front from the week earlier with a line that was already bad, it's hard to overcome that one.
Porth, where do you have this
one? I mean, you combine with what you just said, Joe, with the fact that you're built up as a Super Bowl threat in the AFC.
Right.
And you can't get to the quarterback against that offensive line, and you make some of the mistakes that you made throughout the entire game from start to finish. I mean, those expectations versus – you know, or I should say combined with what we saw yesterday, yeah, I would say that was Vrabel's worst loss.
Yeah, I'm not saying like it was the worst to watch, like just hurting your eyes level. But when you combine the quality of the team you're playing against, the quality of the line you're playing against, and your own team, you're 5-1 heading into this game. You have a quarterback that can actually play football at the NFL position, unlike your predecessor. I think this is by far the worst loss. That was probably an unnecessary shot at Mariota.
Way to get a shot in on Marcus.
I'm pretty good at that. Sorry.
President working of the on Marcus it. Hater Fan Club.
It's a character flaw for me.
I think another way that you could phrase it is the most inexcusable loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I
given
think
all those factors.
Yeah, and that's probably the same thing, right? Worst loss. I mean, it's,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of how they play, you could also look at end-of-game stuff. Last year they had a couple – you know, like mistakes, coaching mistakes that were part of losses. And again, the Ravens' domination from 2 years ago was a stunning game. Like, wow. Like, they can't, like, up front, it was pure domination. But that's a good Ravens team. Titans were not this Super Bowl contending team that we think they are now. So that all factors into it.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were talking about the offense. What did we make of the offense yesterday? A texter says, offensively, the Titans made mistakes because they're trying to force things as player and in play calling to counteract the lack of defense on the other side. Do you think maybe the offense is feeling some pressure to try to score every single time because they know how poorly it's going on the other side of the ball?
Yeah, I don't really buy that. I mean, you could look at the Tannehill pick and say it looks like that, but that wasn't, oh my god, we gotta score. I mean, it was early in the game, they're down 3-0. I mean, you're just driving at will and you make a terrible decision. You know, we're not used to seeing Tannehill make decisions like that. I don't think that was a back of his mind, oh my god. I mean, it was first and goal, just throw it away and you're probably gonna score on second and goal. You know, I mean, it's like they were, and even think about the drive they had. So remind me of the score. Was it 17-7? I mean, they had a drive where it was 9 runs.
Yeah,
I mean, this was not some frantic offense that was worried about the defense. They were like, okay, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to go down the field, and we're going to score. And so it was 10-0 at that point. And they just go right down the field, 75 yards. They got all 60. They had 15 yards from a penalty horse collar on Henry, but all 60 offensive yards they gained were all on the ground. They got a little Dante Foreman yesterday. We'd be talking more about him today.
Ran pretty well yesterday.
He did. And if they had run, you get another power back to bring in for Henry. That's really an interesting look. No, they're fine. 10-7. The problem is, then you just let them go right back down the field. And then, you know, once it gets to 24-7, Derrick Henry he's got to be taken out of the game more. And you've got to change your offensive game plan when it's a 17-point game. And they did. I mean, he had 18 for 112 yesterday. That was a 200-yard game if it's just an even game on the scoreboard. I mean, he could have killed that defense. But the defense, his own defense, didn't let him.
And going back to Tannehill's interception, uncharacteristic, like you pointed out there, Joe. Ryan Tannehill talked about that decision after the game. Here's what he had to say.
The interception early in the end zone there, you guys have generally been excellent in the red zone. But on that play, did you feel like you forced it? You know, I think Mike said that might be one you'd like to have back. Was that the case on that play?
Yeah, no doubt. No way I should have made that throw. We were trying to get the ball, tight end little leak there, and they did a good job covering it up, tried to scramble, make something happen. Saw AJ throw up his hands, just my snap reaction, let it rip. But there's no way I should make that throw. So just keep scrambling and either keep it on the ground, run it, or throw it away. Totally on me.
So Ryan Tannehill taking responsibility for that interception. And look, it was a bad throw. I mean, AJ Brown sitting there in the end zone, there's two Bengals right in front of him. And I heard some people say AJ Brown needs to come back for the ball. That's fine. He's still probably not getting to that ball there. It was a bad, bad decision by Ryan Tannehill. And quite frankly, a decision that we've seen maybe a handful of times, maybe, since he's taken over as starting quarterback for the Titans. You don't see that happen a whole lot. And that was a really bad play. And you could tell right after he made the throw, with a look on his face, he was really mad at himself coming off the field. Not good.
Yeah, that was. It's crazy to see stuff like that from Ryan Tannehill. And I'm not going to sit here and say if Taylor Lewan was on the field, he doesn't make that decision. But if you want to talk about pressing, I think it's more that they've had to adjust some things. I didn't see Tyson Brailo necessarily struggle a ton yesterday or anything. But you have to do some different things. And I think even your mindset in the pocket has to be different when you don't have that guy. And I think we've seen a little bit of the impact of that in the last couple weeks.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, we're now a one-dimensional team as a whole, and that makes us very predictable. You can't win a ring that way. I mean, right now, defensively and in special teams, it's not going very well for the Titans. Offensively, had a bad day yesterday, I guess by their standards, a bad day yesterday, but defensively and on special teams, I mean, problems continue to rise up here. And when two of the three phases of the game aren't going your way, it's tough to feel great about that moving forward if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, and the special teams aspect of it is it gets lost in the defensive struggles. But, yeah, it's been disappointing too. And, again, Steven Gostkowski, he's 10 for 17. It was a 53-yarder, windy day, but he's 10 for 17. At what point are you concerned? Of course, Mike Vrabel says absolute confidence. You know, he's going to say that every time. He said he had total confidence in Cairo Santos the day before they cut him last year. I mean, coaches are going to say that stuff. But I think that's another thing John Robinson has to be looking at right now and really thinking hard. The problem there is it's like with the defense too. Like, what is your answer then? What's your alternative?
Another frustrating part of the Titans defense yesterday was the fact that you mentioned the drive, Joe, where Derrick Henry took over and got all those yards. They make it 10-7. And the defense on the next series, that's when Vic Beasley jumped off sides twice, and they let Gio Bernard run in from like 12 yards out untouched. And you think in the fourth quarter, they're down 24-7, yes, but A.J. Brown gets that touchdown. There's still enough time on the clock to generate a comeback.
Yeah.
Against a Bengals team that has had a hard time closing out games this season, and then the defense just lets – I think that was the kick return past the 50.
Right.
And then the defense just lets Joe Burrow do whatever he wants, and suddenly it's 31-14, and the defense didn't let the offense bring them back in the game.
No, and a relatively quiet day from A.J. Brown yesterday too. 4 catches, 24 yards. One touchdown. Now, on the flip side, Corey Davis, monster day yesterday. 8 catches, 128 yards, 1 touchdown. I was kind of surprised that A.J. Brown didn't get going a little bit more, but the Bengals obviously made an effort to bracket him and cover him and take him out of the game. And Corey Davis responded in a big way. So if you're looking for some encouraging things on the offensive side, Corey Davis, a big-time game yesterday after he had been relatively quiet for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Davis and Derrick Henry are probably their two best players yesterday. So, you know, on A.J. Brown, they had one of those quick-hitter play-action little crossers.
Yep.
And I think Tannehill probably threw it too hard. But it's still one of those that you'd like A.J. Brown to catch. And if he does, that might be another one of those plays just like he had against the Steelers. So that was a lost opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, he got targeted 7 times. 4 catches, 24 yards, but big day for Corey Davis. Just like Porcet, I mean, even with that A.J. Brown touch, I know in the Bengals press box, all the media who cover the Bengals are like, oh, boy, here they come, because this is what the Bengals have been doing. But, yeah, you give up that big kickoff return right after that, and so they only have to go 44 yards, and they do. They go 44 yards in 7 plays, little pass to Gio Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jayon Brown is late getting there, and it's a touchdown. It's back. Basically, the game is fully over at that point.
When we come back, how did the loss to the Bengals yesterday affect how the Titans should approach the trading deadline coming up tomorrow in the NFL? We'll get your reaction to that. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Dallas Cowboys. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff, and good luck to the Dallas Cowboys in that one. They're going to need it. Whether it's Ben DiNucci, Andy Dalton, whatever.
We have a last-place winner in the NFCs, do we? Do we have a last-place winner?
I don't know. It's still early.
I think they got a shot.
Oh, they got a shot, that's for sure.
Those Cowboys-Giants games this season are going to be doozies.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
God bless all of you who watched that game last night on Sunday Night Football between Philadelphia and Dallas.
That's the main reason I wasn't sad about driving through the night from Cincinnati to home. I was like, well, I'm not watching Cowboys-Eagles.
Yes, absolutely.
Look at the bright side.
So as you evaluate the Titans' loss yesterday, 31-20 to the Bengals, obviously, the trading deadline coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central Time here, and we'll see whether or not the Titans make a move. If they do, and John Robinson and the Titans choose to be active at the trading deadline, which would be a first during his time here in Nashville, if you had to evaluate right now the number one direction he should go, Joe, what would that be, in your opinion, based off what you've seen the last 2 weeks in losses to the Steelers and the Bengals?
I think he needs to make 2 trades for a pass rusher and an offensive tackle. But I've been pushing the offensive tackle thing. I think now another week of watching Vic Beasley out there, you know, I think Derek Roberson is going to be a factor here soon. But you think about where they are, there's really nowhere else to turn. They traded Kamale Correa. They let DeAndre Walker go. They really boiled it down to those $22.5 million guys, and they're getting nothing out of them. And Clowney is just – he's going to be on that field all year. And as a Titans fan, the Titans coach, you hope that he starts making more plays and playing better. But I think Beasley is – it's hard for me to – because there's just no sign of it to see him making an impact. So – I think you try to find a pass rusher. The problem is, who would that be? I mean, you know, the Ravens, who are already really good, and, of course, that was a great game yesterday, yep. Ravens-Steelers, but they go get Yannick Ngakoue. Everson Griffin was another one of those dudes who was out there. The Lions went and got him. Of course, the Lions are buyers, and then yesterday show another reason why they shouldn't be buyers, but it's a GM and coach trying to save their jobs. So, apparently, the Washington football team said they're not dealing Ryan Kerrigan. There's one.
That was a target I thought the Titans could be interested in right there.
So, if you're John Robinson, you do some convincing. Tack McKinley, I mean, if you want to continue to look at Falcons' disappointments, you can go there.
Just bring in all the Falcons' disappointments. Why not?
I mean, Tyson Brailo has been a nice addition. That's been a clutch.
He's done a fine job.
There's not. Look, I don't see a great obvious. You must get this guy answer. I continue to like the Riley Reiff idea at left tackle.
He looked good yesterday.
But how? Against your Packers. But how urgent is that really? And how does that work out? Nothing is easy here, but I have to think there's a lot being considered and talked about because this is just a really big problem that, that threatens to completely derail what could be a very good team and a team that's dangerous in the postseason.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, if cornerback was the only glaring need for a Super Bowl run, I'd be all in on going for Gilmore. But we know that's not the truth. I don't think this defense can be fixed this year. We don't need to waste the pick. Calling my shot, the Titans will not make the playoffs.
Ooh. Okay. Wait, who is that?
There's no name. Just a no texter.
Well, if you're going to call a shot like that, you got to give us your name. That's a shot. I get it after yesterday. That wasn't a playoff team on that field. It's also the NFL, and crazy stuff happens every week. But, again, that's the problem is this isn't just the random, oh, man, they just completely got caught off guard, and this league, there's good players on every team. This defense has been consistently bad, and it seems to be getting worse.
And I kind of agree. Like, I don't really see an answer right now on defense. I don't. I think Adoree Jackson's going to come in, and that's going to help. I see nothing that's going to ignite a fire under this pass rush, and it all of a sudden is going to be dangerous. And that, to me, if that doesn't get changed, doesn't matter a whole lot if Adoree Jackson's in there. Yeah, he's got more speed, and he can probably cover people longer than Jonathan Joseph can. But how much longer? I mean, Joe Burrow at times yesterday, he could have pump faked and like double clutched and triple clutched for 10 seconds if he wanted to. And that it doesn't matter who you got back there at that point. I mean, they're going to throw all day on you.
Well, and early on in the game, I feel like they were very conscious of their offensive line and really getting the ball out quick. I think as the day went on, they're like, you know, I think we're all right here. There was some longer drops and, yeah, some plays where, like you said, he could just do whatever he wanted. But it's like at first they assumed, like all of us, that the Titans would look like a NFL defense. And then they're like, oh, yeah. No, actually, we're good.
By the way, that was Glenn from Greenbrier with that text.
Glenn
since
from Greenbrier.
With his name. So Glenn saying the Titans not making the playoffs this year. Look, I don't know if I buy that, but I can certainly see why you'd feel that way after the game yesterday.
Remember that shot. From Glenn.
I think November there 2nd. Are going to be more Titans fans feeling that way that Glenn feels if they lose this weekend in Chicago.
Well, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Got to win this game.
You talk about something having to give in that game, and we'll have all week to talk about this. That atrocious Bears offense against this atrocious Titans defense, that's going to be fun to watch.
I was impressed with how the Bears, again, not getting a chance to really watch it, but hung with the Saints. Maybe they're figuring some things out?
No.
No, Saints are just...
Eh. I don't think the Saints are that good, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Alvin Kamara is good.
He's very good. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, at this point, I think any change to the defensive side of the ball would probably put a breath of fresh air into it. There's got to be some young and hungry defensive player on the line and someone's practice squad that we could sign and give them the chance of their life. What could it hurt at this point?
Yeah. No, well, that's actually a really good point. I mean, yeah, we're going to talk trading deadline, and it's, you know, it's a lot of more established players with bigger deals in some cases, and you got to give up draft capital. But I also guarantee you that John Robinson and his staff are looking at tape of every single pass rusher in the league on a practice squad, and that would not surprise me either if there's something like that. I mean, it's worth a shot. I'll continue to say – I'd like to see Derek Roberson out there.
Yeah.
Derek Roberson last year really showed something in a brief action, 3 sacks in 3 games. A few of those plays, he looked really good. And I thought in camp it was the same thing. He has speed. I mean, he's got some ability. So there's one thing you have to try when he's able to go. But is that enough? I mean, I think you really have to try to shake things up here if you can.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans in truth texting in. J-Rob better make a move. We demand it, but I'm sure we'll be disappointed, and he'll sit on his hands and tell us everything is fine. J-Rob better make a move. If he doesn't, this team isn't going anywhere. Strong stuff there from Titans and Truth.
Mad. It doesn't take long. Vray-Rob, as I like to call them together. Man, people were so mad at them a year ago, and just a couple weeks ago, like, look at these geniuses. 5-0.
talk about maybe being here the next 10 years?
Well, and it's still possible, on the table, but it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long in this league for everybody to get mad at you.
Well, to that point, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, at what point do you question J-Rob and the personnel choices? Wilson, Beasley, Clowney, Joseph, Gostkowski, and that's just this year. None of those have worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wrote about that today at TheAthletic.com.
Oh, boy.
And, well, I mean, look, just saying, like, I kind of went through, because sometimes you need to, like, see it on paper. And it's an incredible, when you're this close, series of mishaps. Now, some of them can work out fine. Fulton is hurt. It's not their fault. Darrington Evans is hurt. It's not their fault. It's not their fault that Taylor Lewan gets hurt. But you draft Wilson. You dump Jarrell Casey. I will keep going back to Jarrell Casey. I know he ended up getting hurt, but I think you have not adequately replaced what he did for this team. The power and just, the leadership up front. I think he and Jeffrey Simmons, I thought, were going to be a heck of a combo. They decided to go a different direction. To me, that was the direction of, okay, he's on the decline. Let's move him and let's bring in Jadeveon Clowney. And it'll be better because of that. And it hasn't been better, obviously. Then you sign Beasley. I mean, that's just a bad signing. So yeah. he had a bad offseason. Yeah, he got this team to the point of getting to the AFC Championship game. That's a bunch of good moves in there. But Isaiah Wilson, you think of all the different ways you could have gone, and right now it's not working out at all. It's right now looking like a really, really bad offseason, right when you're on the cusp of something.
Joe, where can people read that?
TheAthletic.com. Thank you for asking.
Yet another shameless plug from Joe Rexroad.
I appreciate you asking that, Ryan, just in case anyone didn't hear that
just
before.
Just in case you didn't hear it before. That's very nicely done. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Nate texted him, always listen to Floyd when it comes to trades and such. It sounds like fans want to trade just to trade. Is there truly something better out there to trade for?
Right. That's a good question. And that's a question being asked in those offices and I guess on those Zoom calls or whatever is going on right now. I mean, they've got extra picks. So it is a year that works out in terms of you're not going to be strapped in the draft. If you trade something, you have a compensatory pick. You have, I think, 9 picks in the draft. So it's a year that would work out and still get yourself a full draft class. But how high of a pick are you willing to give up, and what are you getting back? I mean, all those questions. Look, there's a lot of discussions going on, I promise you that. Will he pull the trigger? I don't know. But something has got to change. And again, they're not going to hire a D coordinator right now. I mean, they're going with what they have on the coaching front.
Yes.
So it's got to be players coming in and doing better things than the players that are on the field right now.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, if we stand pat, I would get that hot seat ready for the GM and the coach.
Fire.
Ooh, hot seat talk already.
Fire Vray Rob.
Two losses.
Hashtag Fire Vray Rob. 5-2, just went to the AFC title game.
Two losses already. People are flipping.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand people being upset.
I wonder if they're a Tennessee fan, and there's just like pent-up frustration with everyone. They want to fire everybody.
Speaking of that, someone tweeted at me yesterday a good point, not on the Vols, but is it possible that the worst defense in the NFL and the worst defense in college football are both residing in Nashville, Tennessee?
Oh, it's very possible. Yes.
That's quite a combo right now.
It is. It was not a good day for Vandy on Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit later this week, but my goodness. Not good.
Now, it's not as bad for the Titans. So now, if you want to look at that relative to that, you know.
Or is the Titans defense worse than the Cowboys defense? I think it's close.
Probably not.
Probably not. But it's pretty close.
But the Cowboys are hurtling toward, a high pick, and they're just moving on to the whole thing. The Titans are trying to be a contender here. You can't have a defense.
And the Cowboys, they're getting off the field more often on third down than the Titans are. I can assure you of that.
I was about to say, the Cowboys defense might actually be better than the Titans defense right now. I
mean, Could be.
The Eagles offense only scored like 14 points on them last night. They scored 9 points defensively.
Well, what a just juggernaut that Eagles offense is, too.
Thank you for watching that game and giving us that information.
Way to go. Fourth?
I'm glad
I got that recap on my app this morning.
Okay. You didn't watch it?
Because I was invested because I have the Philly defense. So.
Oh, man.
That's bold, too. That's actually a good play. Ben DiNucci.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it's close. Titans defense, Cowboys defense right now. That's not a conversation you want to be in.
Titans defense is worse.
Wow, that's a bold take.
Yeah.
Worst in the league.
Worst in the league.
I mean
it's hard to argue that right now.
Yeah, you can make a strong case at this moment. And you can't have the worst defense in the league. Like, I think Glenn from Greenbrier is going to be wrong on the playoff thing. But how many teams with the worst defense or one of the worst 2, 3, 4 make the playoffs?
How many?
It's why it's a good thing you got that cushion early, you know. Finding a way against Minnesota, finding a way against Denver, finding a way against Jacksonville. You know, we can look back at this whole season and be like, we were kind of saying it all along, but, you know.
Well,
there have been flaws that have been apparent from the start.
I'm going to throw this out at you, and I realize this is very hot takey, but we're two games in a row where they've lost. Taylor Lewan's gone down. The offense hasn't looked quite the same. The defense has been atrocious. Was the 5-0 start with this group fraudulent, in your opinion? Did we get ahead of ourselves just judging how this defense has played really all year long? Is this team played above their head from a record perspective so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent. I mean, again, with the NFL, I am a believer in most weeks you beat whoever by a field goal, feel good about it. It's the NFL. They're all on scholarship. But, you know, every team has some talent. So, yeah, I think we talked about that all along, though, didn't we? I mean, we weren't sitting here every week like, oh, look at this team. Woo, beautiful.
Well, I know, but perfect. We also said, hey, this is could be the third best team in the AFC. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, I don't think that's the case.
No, and I think the way to that is, one, to be the best offense, not named Kansas City, which at times it has looked like that.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to quite be that without Lewan. And then be average on defense. And if you do that, then you're in the playoffs and you could go win games in the playoffs and have a shot. So how far are they from average on defense?
Pretty far.
Pretty darn
far. Pretty far at the moment. When we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, revisit the poll question. Was this Mike Vrabel's worst loss as coach of the Titans? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, probably a lot of things, but what needs to change after two straight losses and after a game today when things didn't go very well?
Well, we got to change. We got to stick together. We got to change, how we play, which would start with how we practice. Practicing better, would lead to better performances. So that's the charge. We all can do more and have to do more when we lose.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the 31-20 loss to the Bengals yesterday, Joe. Talking about the Titans needing to practice better, more attention to detail. What do you make of maybe those comments, practicing better? Is it just coach speak after a game, or do you think Vrabel has been upset at the way his team is prepared the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question. He did it. He also brought up at one point in a different part of the post game another thing about practice. And he was actually – it was Steve Lehman, our buddy Steve Lehman, asked a really good question. So was it a bad week of practice? And he didn't really say yes, but he didn't also say no. I will tell you that Friday – and now this is where you got to be careful because there's things you can't report from practice. But I can tell you in general terms that on Friday in team stuff, they're working on route combinations. And I would say Vrabel was – he was very intense about it, about defensive stuff and, the details, the finer points of what the opponent is doing and what you have to do in response. And I think he's a big believer in that, of course. I mean, he's a big believer in – practice and development, individual development. I mean, to me, the Vic Beasley signing, if you want to take it to Vrabel, was as soon as they made that signing, I said, well, that's a Vrabel signing. What that is, yeah, this guy has faded as a player, and there's questions about obviously his production and his ability anymore, but also how much he cares about football, all that stuff. All that stuff was swirling around Vic Beasley in Atlanta. But that signing to me was, I said, but see, Vrabel will coach him up.
Yeah.
And he'll get him on that practice field and turn him into a good player. Obviously, that's not working out. But Vrabel believes in that stuff. So I do get a little bit of an idea that maybe things aren't going like they should in practice. And Kevin Byard kind of referred to that too. Kevin Byard along with sort of the coordination quote that he gave, which is like things aren't coordinated. He said that more than once now this year. He had a quote about how, you know, the details earlier in the week in practice have got to be better. You know, there's just – so there's some – sometimes you got to wade through this stuff and say, okay, it's after a game, they're upset, and you kind of just say stuff. But there are some consistent things being talked about. And, again, I just think that that's where you get in the aspect of the defensive coordinator not having one, and then losing a great one. I mean, how could it not hurt you? Of course it hurts you.
Let's go back to our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. I said that I think this is Mike Vrabel's worst defeat so far in his tenure as Titans coach. Do you agree with that? 81% so far agree. The loss yesterday to Cincinnati, the worst loss for Mike Vrabel as coach of the Titans. 19% disagree, 300 votes so far in the competition. And it's interesting to see some of the responses. Let's go back to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, got a text that says, just remember the Titans lost 16-0 to a bad Denver team last year, and everybody was ready to move on to 2020. That was, I think, that game against Denver, this one yesterday, and then you could probably take your pick at the Buffalo Bills games of the last 2 years. Those are the four that keep cropping up in conversation. You brought up the Ravens game earlier, too, in Vrabel's first year. I think certainly you could add that to it. But to me, given all of the circumstances, who you're going up against, who you have offensively, 5-1 heading into the game, I think this is the worst loss for the Titans under Mike Vrabel so far.
Well, I'm glad that Denver game was brought up because I think that was – so that was – this is two different things. That was the low point. That was the point of Vrabel's brief tenure. I think you could say that was the low point of John Robinson's tenure too, which is interesting because – it's a year ago, and we've come all the way around to geniuses, and now we're back to – we just had a texter saying, what, are they both
put
in
on the
hot seat now?
You
know, it happens fast in this league, but that was the low point, and you could make a case for that. I mean, you scored no points. Is it worse to score no points in an NFL game or get nothing done against a practice squad offensive line?
That's a great question.
I should have thought of the Denver game because I think that's a contender. But that was definitely the low point regardless. This is not that, obviously. I mean, they're 5-2. And so however that came about, they're still in good position right now to make the playoffs and figure some things out. It's just that consistently and progressively worse, we're watching this defense perform.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville texts in, it was a pretty pathetic showing yesterday on defense. Maybe J-Rob can work his magic and talk a team into trading a pass rusher, but I think this team is doomed for another 9-7 season. If they start 5-0 and end up 9-7 this year, a lot of people are going to be very unhappy. Although 9-7 with the extra playoff spot this year, maybe it gets you in.
Yeah. So
you're always rolling the dice going 9-7.
What's the NFL record for 9-7 in a row?
Oh, the Titans have to have it.
They got to be getting close.
They have to have it already. Four straight?
They got to be close.
They have to be very close.
Might have to Google some stuff here.
I mean, the AFC looks pretty strong.
Yeah.
And pretty deep in terms of playoff contenders. I mean, you have to – obviously, the Colts, you're now tied with the Colts atop the division.
Yep.
The Raiders win yesterday. The Dolphins win yesterday. The Browns are still in the mix. I mean, it's not like the Titans at 9-7 are still going to be guaranteed a playoff spot, even with the new format.
Yeah, that would be obviously a massive, massive letdown. And there's some tough games. There's also some. You look at the whole schedule, and they should be able to get to 10 here.
Should.
You never know with this defense, man.
You don't know.
There's going to be a lot of pressure.
So basically, what you're saying right now is, can you go 5-4?
Yeah,
can you go 5-4 the rest of the way and be 10-6 and take that at least in record step forward? Also, you know, let's talk about the AFC South. It looked so good a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, the Colts are fading, and of course the Titans get to play the Lions too this year. Let's not forget that.
Got the Jags one more time, Texans one more time. There's some obviously winnable games left on the schedule, but it is interesting to see the
this next one's a big one.
Yeah, this next one is a big one. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in, I think we're going to trade Vic Beasley and let go of Jonathan Joseph and think about trading Daquan Jones because he can't stop the run for anything. Jones could bring in some serious value at the deadline anything they do on this defense will help because it honestly cannot get any worse. What do you think about trading Vic Beasley?
Well, I mean, what are you going to get for Vic Beasley?
I don't know.
Hey, how would you like to take prorated $9.5 million for nothing? You're not trading him. You're not going to get anything back. Daquan Jones.
If you could get back like a sack full of footballs, would you make that trade?
You talking about
some brand new footballs?
You talking about Vic Beasley now? Yeah, it depends on the brand.
Like polished. Well, they've been cleaned recently, brand new. The laces are in great shape, ready to go. Footballs. I'd make that trade.
It's important to have footballs.
What if you throw in a tub of mustard?
Ooh man,
with the footballs.
Yeah.
Wow. Does that help you grip the football? Is this something Brady has tried? Apparently,
it helps with everything.
Weather?
Is that part of his pliability treatment Brady's got down there in Tampa? I'd make that trade. Yeah, and you're talking about a sack full of quality footballs. That brings you more value than Vic Beasley's had so far.
Sadly.
I don't think it's arguable.
You're actually just about right. Daquan Jones is, they've missed Jarrell Casey, but what if you took Daquan Jones off this team? You can't subtract from this defensive front, right?
No. Like we say, it can't get worse. But the scary part is, maybe it can. We thought the third down defense couldn't get any worse. And my God, they got worse yesterday. They went from 61% to 62.5%.
Pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. I didn't think that was possible. Oh, man. When we come back, we'll look around the league. A busy day yesterday in the NFL, including some bad news for the Titans yesterday in the AFC South. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Porth was making fun of me during the break about the trade of Vic Beasley for the sack of footballs. Let's be honest. I mean, it would be the most important and valuable sack he's brought into this team all year.
Wow. You're still rolling with this. You still got – I like it.
We had a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com trying to get to the bottom of what the PSI level would be for these footballs coming in. But
that's a fair
question.
I don't
think it matters.
Yeah, you can always deflate or inflate.
Yeah.
As we've learned
from Brady.
In this league.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go around the league. A busy day yesterday in the NFL, and let's start with some bad news for the Tennessee Titans. The Colts just hammer the Detroit Lions yesterday, 41-21. Phillip Rivers looked awfully good against the Lions yesterday. He finishes 23 of 33, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions, which is always good to look for with Phillip Rivers. A statement win yesterday for the Colts, and maybe the Lions coming back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, I thought they would tease one more week. But the tease is over. It's funny too because they just, they just went out and spent draft on a aging pass rusher to come in and help him finish 6-10.
Yeah,
instead of 4-12.
Does that keep his job? Does Patricia keep his job at 6-10?
No, nope. Those guys are both out, I believe, and that's why they're buying, even though they have a bad team. So that'll be a change. And the Colts. Colts look pretty good. Phillip Rivers has responded to the low point, which was the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, getting blown out by the Bengals, by the way. What was it, 21-0? Was it 24-0?
They were down 21-0.
21-0 to the Bengals. Roaring back, and since then, they're coming in here in a week and 3 days for a big one.
I got to tell you, like we've talked about the Titans being the favorite in the AFC South, because in large part to me, Phillip Rivers is a major hindrance at quarterback at times when he's bad, Phillip Rivers, for the Colts. I may flip. I think it's – do you feel better about or worse about Phillip Rivers as your quarterback right now or this Titans defense? I'm not sure it's particularly close. I mean
– well, one's playing well and one isn't. One's getting better and one's getting worse.
But one you also know at any moment could go the other way with Phillip Rivers.
Do you think the Titans can induce that, though?
No.
I mean, you think the Titans against that – think about the Titans against the Bengals offensive line, which we all acknowledge – like, that's the worst offensive line on paper they will play all year, period. It's not close. And then go up against what might be the best offensive line in football.
Getting in the backfield. They may not cross the line of scrimmage in that game.
I mean,
awful.
And the way, again, they've been playing teams that don't feature the run and they've still been getting popped. They've been getting seamed on some of these runs. The Colts might really do a number on them, man. That's a problem. Again, like right now, they're in a situation of can you outscore your opponent? 20's not doing it. You got to get in the 30s right now. That's how you have to feel if you're the Titans offense.
And going up against an Indy defense that's playing really well right now too, I mean, that's going to be a challenge too on that front.
It's not trending well.
It is not. Let's go to the big matchup yesterday in the AFC. The undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers coming in against the Ravens. The Steelers get it done. They hold on late for a 28-24 win against Baltimore. The Steelers remain undefeated. They're 7-0, the last undefeated team in the AFC. Joe, what does the win for the Steelers against the Ravens yesterday tell you about where they sit in the AFC?
Well, I was impressed. You know, the Ravens come back from that pick six. Robert Spillane, pick six,
yeah,
on
buddy.
Lamar Jackson, big time play to make it 7-0. Like, right, I think it was like the second or third play of the game. And the Ravens come back and they've got a chance, and you know, big time defensive plays. That 4th and 3, Lamar Jackson looks like he's gonna get it. They collapse on him. That's big time defense. Steelers are for real, you know, and now they go sign Avery Williamson, make themselves better. Hey, another team like the Ravens, making themselves better here as the season moves on.
Yeah.
Now they had to. They had a big injury, but you got to make moves like that in a year if you think you're good enough to contend in your conference.
I was impressed by what I saw. I went back and saw a little bit of that game. Pittsburgh, to me right now, I mean, they are a complete team. They look really, really good. And the question has been, can Lamar Jackson, when you get to a point where you've got to throw the ball, can he get the job done and lead the team down the field and make those big plays with his arm? I think that question right now, the answer is no, until he proves otherwise.
Yeah, well, he did make a lot of big plays to get him back in the game. But, yeah, at the end, you know, you gotta win one of those games, probably with your arm if you're him, to change that narrative. He played well after the pick six, but they didn't get the big plays at the end of the game.
They did not. Let's go to Buffalo. The Bills get a 24-21 win against the New England Patriots. The Patriots, Joe, 2-5 now on the season. Cam Newton throws for 174 yards yesterday, has a costly fumble in that game as well. And that offense, it's just not getting a whole lot done right now through the air. Julian Edelman's out. He threw it for 174 yards yesterday. Harris rushed for 102, but just not a whole lot getting done right now offensively for Cam Newton and the Patriots, and they look like they are headed towards ineptitude this year.
Yeah, they're fading fast. I guess they came back in that game, right? They were down significantly, made a little comeback, but not enough. So the Belichick Brady, they're diverging from each other right now, not in the way Belichick would like.
No, not at all. And then the Bills, a couple wins in a row now, albeit against teams that are not all that good. But all of a sudden, they're creeping back into a place where probably going to run away with the AFC East just because the Patriots aren't that good. Miami's a nice story, but I still think there are some flaws there, although they had a good performance yesterday in Tua Tagovailoa's debut, a win. He didn't have to do a whole lot in that game. Dolphins win 28-17. Tua and the Dolphins don't score in the second half. They're able to win that game. Anyway, Tua throws for 93 yards yesterday in his debut, but they picked up a fumble on defense, brought it all the way back. I think they had a punt return for a touchdown in that game as well. So Dolphins providing some help yesterday for Tua in his first start.
Yeah, that's one of those games of the three shockers in the NFL. Like, that's the one that's just like if you're the Rams, you throw it out. You had four turnovers. You gave up a punt return, a defensive touchdown, and it's just a wacky result. Like, that's wackier than the Titans result, because the Titans result was a continuing story of an inept defense.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, it's interesting Seattle is giving up 460 yards per game, good for dead last in the NFL, and a lot of people have them going to the Super Bowl. You talk about having some bad defenses. Seattle's defense isn't great either, although they were able yesterday to win that game against San Francisco. They win 37-27, but Russell Wilson just playing at a different level right now. But there's no question that that defense in Seattle, not great.
No, but let's also remember that some of those numbers, and this is why I like the total yardage number, you got to look beyond that. Some of those numbers are Seattle getting way up on people and sitting back, like this happened yesterday,
yep,
in a soft zone, and saying, okay, take time off when you can move down the field on us. That's happened a few times this year. They're not a good defense, but you know, you compare that to what the Titans are doing, like historically bad third down performance. You know, the Seahawks have still gotten some big stops this year in some of these games that they've won. So the total yardage number, you can't just lean on that. You got to look a little bit deeper. But yeah, the Seahawks they're going to have to win shootouts too. If they're going to really make a run, they're going to probably win high-scoring games.
Plus Seattle and the NFC, isn't as strong. Like, if you compare Seattle to the Titans have a tougher road in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl than Seattle does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the NFC, the elite teams are a small number. They've all got flaws. Like, my beloved Packers yesterday, they lost 28-22 to the Vikings. I mean, they can't stop a nosebleed on defense running the ball. I mean, Dalvin Cook scored 4 touchdowns yesterday. He had over 200 yards. It's just there are some weaknesses there. I mentioned to you earlier, the Saints, even though they've won 4 in a row, they win 26-23 yesterday in overtime against the Bears.
Don't look great.
I don't think they look all that good, to be honest with you. Seattle, I think, you know, the defense you can point to as a flaw, but there's not, I think, a truly great team in the NFC. I mean, there's a lot of good ones, but I don't think there's a great team in the NFC.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting race. And again, with the Seahawks, so they get, you know, they're up huge on the Niners. They're blowing them out, and they give up 20 points in the fourth and still win by 10, you know. So you got to keep that stuff in mind. But you're right. The AFC is – they have a lot more teams that I could see. Like, that team can win it all. The NFC, as we go along, maybe the Bucs are the best team.
Right, they could now be. And they have a doozy of a game tonight. Yeah. Bucs and Giants tonight. Bucs favored by 12 in that game. Which, good for you, Porth, calling on Friday that the Chiefs covered the 19.5-point spread. That's a big spread, and they covered it. 35-9?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes did whatever he wanted against the Jets secondary. And what did he throw for, like, 450 and 5 tutties?
It was shocking.
It's good to have him as your quarterback.
Did you just use the phrase tutties?
Yeah.
Wow.
Me and the cool kid. Cincinnati thing?
Must be.
You mean a Cincinnati thing?
Cincinnati. Oh.
Is that what the kids say nowadays?
That's what
they just can't call it a touchdown?
I think it was I guess. I've heard it before, so I just
okay.
Gold star. On that one.
Yeah, that was nice. Mahomes with 416 yesterday, 5 touchdowns, by the way. Pretty good day.
What was it?
416 through the air, 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. He had a couple to Tyreek Hill that were just not fair to the Jets.
Yeah.
Got me 50 points.
Chad Henne saw some action yesterday.
Oh, Chad Henne's still in the league. That's
3 of 4 for Kansas City for 17 yards. 4.3 yards per attempt. Good for him for still being in the league. Had no clue.
Yeah. He's old.
Chad Henne the quarterback for Michigan with Lloyd Carr?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, his last 4 years. Yeah, because that was Carr retired after 07 and Henne was a senior. Yeah, his last four years. And that means so his freshman year was the last time Michigan won the Big Ten, 2004.
Oof. A rough day for your beloved Cleveland Browns yesterday. They fall 16-6 to the Raiders. Baker Mayfield finishes 12 of 25, 122 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. The Raiders come in and get it done in Cleveland. Cleveland falls to 5-3.
What happened there? Like, what happened in that game? Like, we talked about the three shocking
games. Apparently nothing, according to the box score.
Like, we talked about the three shocking games. But honestly, that one, I'm like, wait, I understand that they lost Beckham. But it's not like the Raiders' defense has been anything very good at all this year.
I saw a tweet yesterday saying that the Raiders and Browns set back offense by about 30 years.
Yeah.
In this year, when all we talk about is all these teams scoring points, all these defenses with terrible numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Carr threw for 112 yards yesterday. So you've got Carr throwing for 112 and Baker Mayfield throwing for 122.
I'm assuming
in today's NFL.
I'm assuming this was a weather-related crappy game. Like, was the wind even worse in Cleveland than it was in Cincinnati?
Well, it probably was on the lake there, yeah. But,
I'm
trying
it really
to be that
up,
bad?
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a reason. That game. Yeah,
like a hurricane on Lake Erie?
Like, honestly, if I looked seriously at over-unders and the NFL schedule, whatever that was, I probably hit the over on that one. Browns-Raiders? I mean, they're going to go up and down the field on each other, right? We just saw the Browns-Bengals go 37-34.
Lose OBJ.
This freaking league, you know?
It's crazy. It changes every week. Maybe the Titans come out next week and they're just juggernauts defensively. Bears go 1 for 15 on third down.
And maybe Nick Foles throws for 450. You just never know which way it could go.
You never know. Speaking of the Bears, we had a Bears expert coming on next. We'll get into a little bit of that with Corey Curtis from News 2. Also recap the loss to the Bengals yesterday for the Titans. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.